Let's go to God here in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you just for your heart for the lost, your heart for those who are oppressed. And Lord, we thank you that you demonstrated your love for us in that Christ died for us. The ultimate expression of love is just the giving of a life. And Jesus Christ gave his life for us, for our sins. He bore the penalty. He bore the shame. And we know that it's on your heart to constantly be reaching people that don't know you, and also that as a means of bringing that message, we can serve others. We can let our light shine, like Doug said, and so we're just very thankful for your church body here that we can be a part of, that we can be a light to our community, to our where we live and where we work, and also just right here where the church building is around us. And so I want to take time here just to also pray for those in our church who are sick, those who are discouraged, those who might be depressed. And so, Lord, we just pray, God, that you would strengthen them, encourage them, heal those that have physical ailments. And we just pray, Lord, that you restore them to health. And we pray, Lord, that you would also help them to endure. And so, Lord, we ask for your grace to be poured out there. Pray, Lord, too, that if you might lay on our hearts as individuals, if you want us to take action and serve any one of these folks that are ailing or that are discouraged, and which just points out that we need to be involved in one another's lives, Lord. And so we ask also now at this time, Lord, that you would bless our time in your word, help us to understand it, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're finishing up the book of 2 Timothy today, and last week we did just a couple of verses. Today we're taking a larger chunk, and there is a theme here, and I'll get to that in a minute. But if you're able to, why don't you stand as I read God's word here? If you're able to, if you can't, or you're hurt or something, feel free to stay seated. That's fine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 to 22, here in the American in the English Standard, says, "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful, very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me, the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. That is God's word. Please have a seat. You really get the idea that this is a letter, don't you? I mean, when you see that ending there, it's like you and I would end a letter, right? Just as it opened with greetings, and you see the ending here as there's a list of some things that he wanted to take care of, even just the idea of, you know, hey, get my coat that I left there at so-and-so's place, and, you know. And so this is a letter written to Timothy, and this is a good time just to remember that when we started off covering this book and reading through this book and going through it, is that we learned that this was basically Paul's last letter. These are his last words, right, before he was going to be martyred. And so he has this sense of urgency, right? He has this sense of you know, Timothy, just like you and I would, if we were going to write our last words, there would be some very pointed things. I mean, they would be the important things we would want our loved ones to know. And so he has some real specific instructions for Timothy about things that he needs to focus on, things that he needs to be faithful with. And, you know, if there could be a one-word summary of this section, it would be faithfulness. Faithfulness to the end. This is really what it's about. You know, finishing strong. And so this week, as I would be getting ready for work, a lot of times I'll watch, get to watch some of the segments on, I think it's CBS This Morning, and it's just their morning news program. And they had a feature they were doing for at least a couple of days on Tom Brady, all right? So the quarterback for the New England Patriots, right? Some of you, that's a bad word, because I know some of you. Anyway, we'll just leave it there. But interestingly enough, right, there aren't that many 40-year-old quarterbacks, you know, because you take so many hits and your body is just pounded about. And he is just continues to make great strides and perform at the highest levels at the age of 40. And so what they kind of wanted to do is say, well, what's the secret, Tom? How can you finish so strong, you know, knowing that, you know, these are probably his last days in terms of being in the NFL as a quarterback, and how are you performing at this high level at this latest stage in the game in your career? So they talked to him about all kinds of things. They talked about his diet. I mean, the guy eats mostly fruits and vegetables, okay? And then, they showed him some of the exercises he does in his gym, which was, interestingly enough, with bands, mostly with bands, stretchy bands. You know, just like, I was just like, whoa, that's pretty amazing. You'd think that, okay, you know, he's got these rack of free weights, and, you know, he's probably got some of that, but I'm just saying, he's saying this is a big thing for him. In his workout regimen. And so he was talking about the things that he was doing to finish strong and stay at his peak performance. And so think about the focus today. Is this about how are we going to finish strong in following Jesus? You know, because you see those words that Paul mentions in this passage, right? When he talks about himself. In verse 6, he says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and at the time of my departure has come. I mean, this is all these clues. He's saying, listen, I know I'm going to die. I'm at the end, right? And he says, but he says this in verse 7. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You know, and so he's just saying, I have been faithful. And of course, he's not going to sit there and say, well, I did it, you know. No. We know that Paul's saying he would give God the credit, but he's just saying, I have stayed true to the one true gospel. And that's really actually what that word keep the faith means, okay? He has kept the faith. That means he has guarded it like a treasure, okay? And that's what we must do as well as the body of believers and as individuals, is guard that gospel message. But we also, I would think, say, you know, I don't want to just start off in the Christian life and put my faith in Jesus, which is a wonderful thing, obviously, and that's one of the most important things, but we want to walk with Jesus. We want to finish strong. We don't want to, you know, just in a sense limp across the finish line at the end of our lives and kind of, just not be serving the Lord anymore or whatever. And so what are some things that we could be doing? And in fact, what does Paul tell us that we should be focusing in on? And yes, I know these are some words tailored to Timothy, but let me tell you, I think there's this great application in every believer's life here, okay? And so one of the things we'll notice, and I'm really going to key off of verse 5 today, but we'll hit some of the other verses that are around it because it all relates, I believe. It all relates. So the first one is just on how to finish strong is keep a clear head. You ever see one of those graphics on the Facebook feed? Keep calm, right? And carry on, or keep calm and fill in the blank, right? So why would Paul be telling Timothy this, to keep calm? Well, he's saying that because the verses that precede this, he was saying in verse 3, 2 Timothy 4:3, he says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but they'll have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." And so this precedes the verse that we start with today. And he's saying, that's kind of like a real challenging word to hear. If you're the person that's supposed to be communicating the word and teaching the word, teaching the truth, and he's saying, by the way, there's going to be a lot of people that won't want to hear that, and you're going to come into there's going to be a time when they'll just say, we don't like that message. We like a little more gentler message, a kinder message, and something that, we would like to hear. And so they're going to accumulate, it says, people that they want to hear, teachers that will tickle their ears, so to speak. And so this is why he's saying keep your head, because he's saying, that could tend to be discouraging, right? Is to say that, oh man, things are just going south here real quick. And we can see in a sense, right, not only was this true here in the first century church, but this is also true today. There's not a great, in a sense, there's a famine. There's a famine in the land here for the Word of God, right? There's a famine for the Word of God, the truth to be taught. And so, but he's saying, keep a clear head, be sober-minded, right? That's what he says in verse 5. And I think what it's just to realize is this is how things are going to be. If ever I encounter a difficulty in my own life, or maybe it's a difficulty that you just say, this could be the new normal, right? This could just be the way it's going to be in my life for the rest of my days. At a certain point, obviously if this is something you cannot do anything about, it's beyond your control, you have to kind of release control if you're ever going to have some peace. Because if there is that angst, if you will, that struggling and striving with God about what it is, and you do have to go through that, there's no question. When we go through trials and difficulties, there is a wrestling. But I think that we eventually have to do what the song said earlier today, right, which has to do with saying, Lord, have your way. Right? You got to have your way, Lord. I have to accept this, that this is what you have brought into my life, and therefore I can keep my head clear, then I can actually experience peace if I trust my future to God regardless of what it looks like. And so Paul's telling Timothy, keep a clear head, don't freak out because of what's going on. Realize I'm in control, and once I remember that God is sovereign over everything that's going on in my life and in the culture and in the world at large, right, that I could say, if I'm first and foremost rightly related to God through Jesus Christ, right, then everything else is a bonus, right? But being at peace with God is the first and most important thing for any one person. But the other thing is, I thought about what helps us keep a clear head is surrounding ourselves with other believers to strengthen us. Because there will be days when I'm a down day. I'm in a down day, and Linda's in an up day, and those are I need that, as well as the church at large, right? When we're down and we feel beat down, whether it's by the world or the enemy's playing head games with us, and We're struggling with some things in our minds, and we need to surround ourselves with fellow believers who can encourage us, encourage our faith. And you see all these names at the end of this letter, right? You see the fact that as I look at some of these, like in verse, I think it's 11, he mentions Luke alone is with me. Presuming this is Luke the physician, right? That wrote the Gospel of Luke. And then he says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. And if you know you're a little bit of Bible history, you realize there was a problem between him and Mark before, right? And Mark went off, and then Mark is back. And so that's encouraging too, you know, to realize sometimes there are people who wander off, and then they come back, and we're united in ministry again. And that's encouraging. But he lists all these people who are a support to him, right? They're a support to him. And we have some other people there that weren't such a support to him, and we'll talk about those in a few minutes. But he mentions Luke there, and he mentions Tychicus, right? And then he goes on there in verse 19, Prisca and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus, and all these people were there in his life. These were relationships that had been built, okay? I think this is important. You know, these aren't people that he just passing through in life he met. They had relationship. They I'm sure he probably stayed with them in their homes. He had meals with them. They did ministry together, right? And you go through the ups and the downs of life, your personal life and ministry life, right? And that really builds these bonds. And those bonds really help us keep our heads clear, because when we surround ourselves with people like that, a couple of verses I want to mention to us just to take a look at real quickly. Romans chapter 1, just in the opening verses here in this letter to the Romans, verses 11 and 12. Now again, this is one of Paul's longest letters here, right? But in verse 11 and verse 12, he talks about his desire to be with them. He says, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. And then in verse 12, that is that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. You know, you see that, okay, this is not just the Apostle Paul we're talking about here. This is somebody who's like, you know, he realized that he needed people in his life. He's not just at the top of some organizational chart of the church. He needs encouragement. He needs his faith built up too, right? And a mutually encouraging and strengthening one another's faith. We need that. Every one of us needs that. Doesn't matter if you have any kind of a leadership position in the church or not. That doesn't matter. Every one of us needs to have relationships within the body of Christ that are going to there to be strengthening us, right? Because there will be these times when it's going to be hard to keep a clear head. It's going to be hard to be sober-minded, like Paul's telling Timothy. One other verse just to mention along these same lines, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews 3, starting with verse 12. As he says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. And so he says, like, be careful. Be careful. Guard your faith, your belief. Don't fall into unbelief. And then he says, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, so he's just saying, you need to watch out for each other. Are you your brother's keeper? Are you your sister's keeper? Yes, you are. He's giving us permission to get in one another's grill, okay? And because that's out of love, you know? You're like, if you see somebody wandering off, right, and going down a bad path, you know, it's up to us as individuals out of love to kind of go after them and try to do what's necessary. Maybe it's share the truth. Maybe they're believing a lie, you know, and maybe they aren't seeing things clearly. You know, this happens when we fall into sin, right? The book of James tells us that we deceive ourselves. When we start falling into sin, you know, it's like we've got blinders on. We're not seeing straight. We're caught up in it. It's a trap. You know, and so he's saying, you know, we got to go help people get out of those traps. And, you know, and sometimes if you're the person receiving that exhortation, it doesn't feel so great, or we might even kind of like push away. But you know what? We got to keep coming. We got to be faithful, you know? All right, so this is, you know, just saying that to keep a clear head, we need to have people surrounding us. We have to engage in relationship. It takes time, and it takes effort, and so on. It's not going to just happen, right? We have busy lives. You know, kids have baseball games. You know, we have work. There's homework. There's you name it. But we have to try to do what we can to have some time with each other and encourage one another. Do things together, things that you're already going to do, right? Okay, so always be sober-minded. That's one of the things. Keep a clear head. Another thing is to let the trials that come from following Jesus lead you to prayer, not despair. Let the trials that come from following Jesus lead you to prayer, not despair. And so he tells Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, he says, endure suffering. Endure suffering. He has said this before in this letter in a number of ways, but he's saying endure suffering. In other words, you know, hang in there. Hang in there. And we even see some of the trials that Paul went through, right? Paul's mentioning some of the stuff he had to go through, that he had to endure. In fact, you know, he mentions that, he mentions Demas right there in one of the verses. He talks about it. Verse 9, do your best to come to me, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. The world allured Demas away, right? And so this is, and he deserted Paul. One of his right-hand guys is no longer there. And that would be an incredible thing to endure. You know, have you ever had somebody that you were close to and they just kind of like cut off all relationship with you? Or just, you know, left on bad terms, deserted you in a sense. Paul also mentions not only people that deserted him, friends that deserted him, but people who really vehemently opposed the ministry. This guy, Alexander the coppersmith, he says that he opposed their message, right? In verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith Smith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. I think this is a good word here. Just remember, you know what? We're not about taking revenge. We'll leave that up to the Lord. He can do a much better job of it than we could ever. Okay? And plus, if we seek revenge ourselves, we get caught up. We get bitter, and we are destroyed, basically, in the end. And so he's just saying, you know what? That guy, he opposed me, and the Lord's going to deal with him. And then he warns Timothy, watch out for him. Watch out for him. So maybe it's possible, you know, Timothy was a young pastor in the town of Ephesus, the city of Ephesus. So it's very possible, but maybe that's where Alexander the coppersmith was at this time. And so he's saying, you know, you're going to run into this guy again. You're going to get opposition. be on the alert. And so he endured that kind of suffering. Just, you know you're doing the Lord's will, and then you get this opposition, right? Enduring suffering for taking the message out. And then another aspect of his suffering here was just the fact that there was nobody there. Nobody there to defend him in court. He had nobody to stand as a witness on his behalf. Nobody. Can you imagine that? Not having a soul that would be there. Man. But you know what? All of this oppression, this, you know, these discouraging situations, that his friends deserting him and other people opposing him, and then even in the court not having one person to stand with him. What does he say in verse 17? What does Paul say? Think about this in finishing strong. He said, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it." The Lord strengthened him. The Lord was with him. So, you know, when we go through these times of difficulty, times of suffering, when it comes to, you know, taking that message out and trying to be faithful with what God wants us to do, he's saying the Lord, you know, will stand with you. And that's why we say here is let those times be lead us to prayer, not despair. Let it grow our relationship with God, not turn us away from him, right? To finish strong, we need to have a tight relationship with God. Let the, you know, when these difficult times come, wrestle with the Lord, right? Talk to him about it, right? And then that's how the relationship grows. So the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and that's what we need to endure suffering. Another thing we see in here in how to finish strong is to fight to keep outreach as a top priority. We need to fight to keep outreach a top priority. Well, he says after this in that verse 5, he says, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. Now, Timothy, from what we can see, didn't have the gift of evangelism, okay? He was a teacher, right? He was a preacher. We have no indication whatsoever that he was had the gift of evangelism. He was not an evangelist. So what he's saying here is, though, you still need to do the work. You still need to proclaim the message of the gospel. Do the work. I like that because it reminds me that, you know what? It's not an easy thing. At least I usually don't think work as being an easy thing, right? Even if you like your work. It's effort involved, right? Whether you're a stay-at-home mom or whether you go out to an office somewhere, that work takes effort, right? And so we have to remember this. He's saying, do the work of an evangelist. And so I want everyone here just to remember, you know, this is a Great Commission church. We are part of Great Commission churches, and that Great Commission, as it has been named, is that commissioning of Jesus to his disciples to go and make disciples, right? To proclaim the good news of Jesus, you know, that he came and he died on the cross and he rose again from the dead. And he did that because we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And if we don't have a relationship with him, if we don't put our faith in him, we will be separated from him for all eternity, right? And so he's saying we need to make disciples. They need to hear the message. We need people, hopefully ones that will receive it then, and we need to help them grow up in their faith. That's what we're about, and that's what Jesus has commissioned the church to do. And so, but just like anything else, you know, even businesses, right, they fight against what? It's called mission creep, right? Where you get off mission, you start getting into other things that really aren't your core business. They're, you know, you're about making widgets, you know, not this other thing. You know, whatever it is, right? Or, you know, you just have to see as a church, we're about making disciples. Okay, we're about making disciples. And a big part of that, obviously, is reaching out outside the four walls of this building. Yeah, we can use this building as a tool to reach people, you know, which we tried to do yesterday, which was encouraging, you know. But we need to take it out there, too, right? Where we live, work, and play, if you will, okay? We got to keep that out in front of us, right? Realizing that the proclamation of the gospel is not just for ministers, it's for every believer, okay? Every believer is called to do this. I mentioned it's hard work. You know, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, let's take a look there real quick. Matthew 9, 37, 38. Jesus, talking to his disciples, says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.'" Excuse me. "But the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly." This is fascinating. He tells us not only pray, but pray hard on this. You cry out to God for this. Says, "You pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Okay, and, you know, my personal take on this is that, you know, I don't think it's just talking about, you know, sending out missionaries. You know, this means we need people in the church to see as their mission is their neighborhood, is their neighbor, is their coworker. That's their mission field, right? We need, a laborer. I'm going to say to you, a laborer is someone who's taken seriously the Great Commission and has owned it as their own. You know, at the very beginning of this year, I wrote an article in the newsletter, and it used the acronym GROW, right? And it was about growing the church, about wanting to grow, desiring to grow the church, right? And G was about going to God. That's about praying. Pray for the growth of your church. Have you prayed for that, right? And then we need to just relate to one another, Christ-like love. And the third one, the O, is own the Great Commission. That every person would own that, meaning seeing it as God has given you this commission. Because he has, whether you want to believe it or not, but when you receive that as a commissioning of your own, that God has called you to reach the people in your sphere of influence for Christ, that makes all the difference. Right? Not having this mentality that somebody else is going to do it, right? That's somebody else's job, right? And so we need to see that. That's important. And then the fourth thing, the W, now that we're on that, was just that we need to work at excellence. Work at excelling in areas of ministry, right? How can we do better? How can our Sunday morning be better? How can our preaching be better? How can our this be better? How can that be better? How can the kids' ministry be better? All these things. We want to grow. We want to excel. We don't want to be stagnant. And sometimes that means change. And we don't like that. But hey, if it's for the kingdom, if for reaching people, we should be willing to do whatever it takes. We should be willing to do what Paul says, right? When he says, you know, by any means, you know, I want to reach people. That was on Paul's heart. Let that be our heart. So Paul's just telling Timothy, you know, do the work of an evangelist. And we need just to remind ourselves, it's hard work, okay? It's hard work. The other thing I thought about this was that we should want this to be an outflow of our relationship with God, our personal relationship with God. You know, we talk about what we're excited about, you know? If I find an interesting piece of technology to use in the classroom, I can't shut up about it when I'm around my fellow adjuncts, okay? You know, I'm a geek, I admit it, that's okay, you know? But I'm excited about it, so that's what comes out of my mouth, right? And so if I'm excited about my walk with the Lord, if I'm really understanding how the gospel impacts me, not just to save me, but today, if I'm growing in my understanding of how much God loves me and what he's done for me, you know, that height, that depth, that width of the love of God, that, in a sense, infinite dimensions of God's love, if I'm growing in my understanding of that, right, it's going to be coming out of my mouth. It's going to be coming out of my mouth. And so I think we need to see that, right? Like Paul told Timothy earlier in this book in 2 Timothy 2:8, he says, keep your attention on Jesus. You know, if we got to keep our attention on Jesus, because as we do, then we will be fulfilling that great commission as we go along. We'll be doing the work of an evangelist. Okay? I like what this one commentator said. He said, like a hardworking farmer, which has been mentioned earlier in this book of the Bible, like a hardworking farmer, we must keep sowing and plowing every day if we want to see fruit. Keep planting seeds and pray for God to send the rain. Amen? That's what we need to do. We got to keep planting the seeds. It's hard work. Sometimes, you know, oh my gosh, this one time my dad and I planted strawberries by hand in a field of about a little over an acre. Do you know how many strawberries that is? That's a lot of strawberries. And then they had the 50-year flood by the Little Miami River. The entire thing gone. You talk about discouragement. Oh my gosh. I was just a little kid, but my dad, I'm sure, was really bummed. He was thinking money. I wasn't even thinking money. I'm just thinking, you know, I mean, we weren't looking for it as a means of income, but it was something we had put our heart and soul into. A lot of sweat. But sometimes, you know, you plant the seeds of the gospel, right? And they seems like the enemy's just snatching them up all over the place. You go through these seasons, and we don't see anything happening. Right? But the thing is, we got to remember, what's our responsibility? Plant the seeds. Right? Plant the seeds. Right? Just like Paul said, right, in another letter, right, where he says, you know, one person plants, another waters, but God causes the growth, right? And here, this commentator mentions, you know, we need to keep planting. It's hard work, right? Keep sowing, keep plowing every day. And pray for God to send the rain. Just like the farmer is totally dependent on the Lord for that. We need to be totally dependent. He's got to work on people's hearts. He worked on our hearts. He's still working on our hearts, right? That's how it works, okay? Last thing here. Continue to use your giftedness to serve the Lord. Continue to use your giftedness to serve the Lord. You know, he tells Timothy, he says, fulfill your ministry or discharge all the duties of your ministry. Fulfill your, you know, be faithful with your position there, Timothy. Do everything that you're supposed to be doing in that pastorate. Well, how does that apply to us? Well, you know, you have different gifts that God's given you as a Christian, and it takes some time to figure out what those might be. You know, that takes some experimentation. You have to try to serve here, serve there, and you find out what really turns your crank, you know, in a good way, spiritually. You know, what do you enjoy doing when you're doing it for the Lord, right? That takes time, okay? And so, you know, you may be serving in ministry in some place and here at church, and you say, you know what, hey, I did that for a year. Man, boy, that wasn't my gift. I know that, you know, or whatever. Okay, well, you've eliminated that. Okay, that's okay. We still got to get involved. We still got to get served. We find out what that is. And the further we go on in the Lord, we figure out how we're wired and how our giftedness works so that we can use it more effectively for the kingdom. Okay? And just like he's telling Timothy to fulfill your ministry, I encourage you, you know, pursue the Lord and say, Lord, am I using my gifts effectively for you? Or how could I use those and for your glory here at Darby Creek and so on? And so it's something you need to pray about, right? Paul had a team of people around him. We mentioned that before. These people worked together for the sake of the gospel. And all of these things, right, help you finish strong. When I listen to people talk about leadership, and they talk about, you know, the long haul in leadership, just on the topic of leadership, they talk about, you know, the older you get, the more you have to figure out what your thing is. Because, A, you don't have enough energy like you did when you were a young person, you know, and so you want to make your swings count, right? And I've been thinking about that for myself. I say, Lord, you know, what is it, you know, I'm kind of like at halftime here. I'm 53. What is it, you know? Am I doing my thing, you know? And am I doing the best I can at it, right? Am I really making my swings count? And that's what you need to be asking too. Fulfill your ministry. What is it, right? Within the auspice of the local church, how does the Lord want to use you, right? And you know, and we're doing some things now with some other ministries too. You know, we're doing some things here with the church on Como, and you know, who knows what the future will hold, and just in other connections we could make. But ask that of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we want to finish strong. We want to finish strong as the Apostle Paul did. We want to be able to say, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And we want to be like that. We want to finish well. We want to be wise about how we use our time. Lord, we want to know better how you've wired us, how you've made us so that we can bring those gifts and those skills, how you made us to bear the maximum impact for your kingdom. Lord, help us to see our need for surrounding people around us to help us to endure the long haul, realizing this is more like a marathon than it is a sprint. This is something that we don't want to just start out of the gate, you know, sprinting, but we want to finish and be faithful to you. We don't want to burn out. We don't want to flame out. We don't want to tube out, whatever you want to call it. We want to keep running for you. And Lord, help us to take these things that Paul has encouraged Timothy with and help us to see that, you know, we need those to endure suffering, to keep outreach as a top priority, because everything is working against that. Help us to keep a clear head when we encounter difficult circumstances. Lord, we need your help. We need your grace to do that. But we do want to let our light shine for you, and we do want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.